James, the book, chapter 1. My soul, wait thou only upon God. I want you to see these verses from 1 through 4. Watch closely. James 1, 1 through 4. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. That's the salutation. Then he gets to the subject. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect. Notice the words. And entire, wanting nothing. Now, Brother Chris, will you give our pastor the microphone? Please lead us in prayer, my brother, before we make these comments.
Thank you, Father, for the fellowship tonight. Opportunity to pray together. Opportunity to sing together, to worship. Now we're going to get in your word, and Brother Chuck is going to lead us and is zeroing in on this passage. And Lord, I know that I lack wisdom, and I can ask of you that gives to me liberally. Mm. And you won't make fun of me. You won't upbraid me. Mm. And it's going to be given me. And I do ask for wisdom. I ask for wisdom for us as a body.
Amen.
And I pray for Brother Chuck tonight. He'd have wisdom. Please, give him God, power, please. Unction.
Please.
As he communicates your word. And we commit this time to thee. Lord, you say it. If we commit our works to you, you will establish our thoughts. And we claim that promise. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Not one word of God's promise has ever failed. Not one. And the pathway has never given way in time of flood. God has given me a path to walk. He's given you a path to walk. Every bell of heaven is perfectly sound. The music is full and glorious. Going on now. And God is faithful, who will also do it. And the lamp of God will not die out at midnight. And the fountain will not fail us in the wilderness. And the consolations will not be hidden in our distresses. And love will have all things ready. The love of God. And all the powers of heaven are pledged to the fulfillment of the smallest word of grace. You need never fear about anything except your own life when you're tempted to sin. You don't need to fear. God is able. He has always done what he said he would do, and he will continue. But you and I both know that life, it does have testings. It does. By the way, that is by the design of God. Because you see, tribulation worketh patience. And God wants you and I to have patience. And there is patience in temptation. When you're tempted to do something, don't jump. Don't move forward. Trust God. Wait upon Him. Don't let anything provoke you into doing the very thing that you'll be remorseful over. Just wait upon God, trust Him, obey Him. So when you look at verse 2, look at that verse. Now, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into many, many diverse temptations. Testings are for a purpose. They are for our enlargement. Would you like to have your coast enlarged? Well, then you are going to experience testings. Because the testings will bring enlargement if you respond properly. The testings are intended to move you, meaning this. You know, sometimes we rest so casually and so comfortably in a certain way of life without really being provoked to move ahead and to really accomplish what God has in mind for us. We kind of take it easy and, in a sense, maybe take a vacation from God. Well, guess what? Testings are designed to jolt you, to jolt me, so that we get out of our comfort zone, where sometimes we tend to settle. And so, when it comes to a testing that comes your way, your response to that testing, did you know that it reveals your spiritual condition? It does. When it comes, how do you respond? Why me, Lord? Excuse me. The fact is, why not? That's my case. So these temptations, they hear it refers primarily to trials, like putting gold in the fire so that it's purified. So James has in mind eternal trials that we face on our journey to heaven. That's what he has in mind here. I mean, it is manifold trials, meaning many, many, various kinds, all kinds of colors within the trials, trials of all sorts. And Job is a classic example. Many disasters, loss of wealth and health and family, the sympathy and the fellowship of his wife and the goodwill of his friends, and yet he came through the trials wiser and a better man. And guess what else it did? It shut the devil's mouth. It did. What could Satan say after the trial came and the testing? And Job passed the test. Bless God. That's the way I want to be. One writer said, trials are not electives in God's school. They are required courses. These trials, they're not for God to see how we're doing, but they're to let us see how far we've come or haven't come. And knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So that's why James says, count it all joy. So when you bear the testings, they have an effect. If you properly respond, they have this effect. They will move you, and they will mellow you. Did you get that? You know, sometimes all of us, we can be so crotchety in our spirit. Oh yeah, you know. We have what Ron Hamilton calls the poochy lip disease. Well, may I ask you a question for myself as well as you? How does that fit with the design of God for your life? Now, don't Don't cast this aside. Don't go out of the room tonight and go on just as if everything's okay, because I had to apologize to my wife because I was crotchety. Now, I know you'd never believe that. You think I'm such a sweet boy, but the fact is, don't talk to her about how sweet I am. The fact is, I had to apologize. And there's not a one of us in this room who sometimes is not crotchety. Will you look at verse 3? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Did you know that the word for trying can be translated proof? Knowing this, that the proof of your faith worketh patience. I mean, something that's being put into the crucible. It carries the thought of a yoke of oxen being put to the test. I mean, this trying of our faith works patience. And the word for patience here means to abide under something. We find it difficult to remain quiet under adverse conditions. And God expects us to continue cheerfully. Did you get that word? Cheerfully. That doesn't mean you're supposed to laugh when you're hurt. That isn't what it means. It means that whatever you're passing through, you don't gripe. You don't find fault. The next time that you have surgery, you do understand, do you not, that if it were not for the controlling power of the great physician, the doctor could make a mistake that would kill you. Now, that's a fact. I know a lady right now that had surgery. She got out of surgery and recovered, but she kept hurting in her side. To later find out that the doctor stitched up the scissors on the inside of her. Yeah. You see, whatever is required of you in being allowed or coming by the hand of God is nothing to complain about. Hello? And so, Paul knew this. When he and Silas were flogged and jailed and put in stocks, and they sang, and then the effect and their testimony produced awe in the prisoners and the salvation of the jailer. Now, I don't think we understand the conditions that were there for Paul and Silas when their feet and hands were in stocks. Do you know that a rat has the strongest jaw power of any animal in the world? That's a fact. And the rats were in the prison with Paul and Silas. And the rats don't just eat garbage. They don't mind some fresh meat. But they sang. Not the rats. So the key to all of this, to survival, under testing, it's patience. That's what it is. And there is a moving on the part of God in me, for me, through me, to me. There's a mellowing, and there's a maturing. If you view patience as the result of testing, passing the test, you will mature. You will. And did you know that God wants us to mature? I mean, that's what happens when you grow in grace. You're moving toward increasing in maturity. So that the wisdom that you exercise gotten from God, you don't go astray and you don't think more of yourself than you ought. It's just a matter of living and being able to pass the test. So, the purpose for testing is to mature us. Look at verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So, it's a process. It goes on until full maturity is reached, and you begin to show and demonstrate that matter of Christian character. And the word here for perfect is teleos. It indicates something has reached its end, something that is finished. It carries the idea of being fully developed, being complete, or being initiated and so forth. So here's what's going on. And here's what bothers me. At my age, I'm so sorry that I am not mature. Now, I want to be. I do. The desire of my heart is to be mature. So that I can be known as a mature. No! So that I might accomplish for God what I ought. I really believe this, Pastor. I believe that I could be a much, much, much greater child of God today if I had paid attention and done what I should have 20 years ago. Now, you can't unconvince me of that. I've thought enough about it. I know I'm right. You see, you don't know me like I know me. And all of the tendencies to respond in a manner that is like Peter when he drew the sword and he was no swordsman. Today, if you draw the sword and cut somebody's ear off, believe me, the Savior won't put it back. And it'll be like that. And that's the result of your anger and your pride and your arrogance. And I know me. And I'm so ashamed of that from when I remember back 20 years ago. I'm so ashamed of it. And I read this passage and study this passage and see, James has in mind patience leading to perfection in service. Have you ever experienced this? You really intended to do what you were going to do properly. You really did. It wasn't a matter of... And you prepared. You weren't slack. And then when it came time to do what you intended to do for the glory of God, you made a terrible mistake. How did you respond to that? Did you beat yourself up? Or did you recognize that your weakness is the reason that you made the mistake? And since you could recognize your weakness, that meant that the next time there'd be more time like this before you did what you were going to do instead of time like this. And the fact is, if more time is spent on the knees, there will be less mistakes. You can't even control yourself without depending on God. And I can't either. I mean, I can determine and be a failure again and again and again, and then spend my time being morose and have a bad attitude over the fact that I failed, when all of that emphasis is about me. But when you trust and obey and love and walk with Him and spend the time on your knees, it always is different than it is when you don't. Are you listening? You see, patience is a farmer's word. Plows, plants his field, and then he has to wait patiently for the harvest. He can't rush it. Patience is a photographer's word. He goes into the wild and he sets up his camera and he builds his blind to see a crocodile tenderly picking up her new hatched young in her mouth. He settles down and patiently waits. Well, patience is an astronomer's word. His calculations tell him of the visit of a comet or of an eclipse, and in no way can he hurry the event. If he wants to see what is coming, he has to wait. Patience is nature's word. A time exists in the ripening process of a peach or an orange. And it's as much a peach or an orange as it will ever be, but it's not ripe. And if the fruit is picked at that stage, it'll be hard and bitter, and much of the fruit that's even sold in our stores today is like that. And the peaches have color and shape and texture, but they've been hurried in the process, and they've been picked too soon. And the result is disappointing, and the peaches are tasteless, and the oranges are dry and sour. And impatience has spoiled the process. Patience is God's word. God is never in a hurry. God's word to us is wait. It takes time for the earth to complete its journey around the sun. It takes time for the tide to come in. It takes time for a child to grow into a man or a woman. It takes time to bring a person to maturity in Christ. Today is a day of fast food restaurants and instant news and instant entertainment. We try to carry this hurry into the spiritual life, and it will not work. Your spiritual growth is different than mine. Don't ever run a parallel between yourself and someone. Don't do that. Trust God and enjoy the process that He takes you individually through. Let Him have His way. See, here's the thing. Sometimes a celebrity will get saved. And I mean, it's amazing the way this works. And then suddenly that celebrity is elevated and promoted and hurried from place to place to give his testimony, and he's applauded on every hand. Or a young man shows promise as a preacher, and he's pushed into the position too soon, and he's a novice, and he makes mistakes, and he grows rapidly, it seems like, for a while, and then suddenly comes a crash, and his life is in a mess. What happened? He didn't wait. He wasn't patient. Someone pushed him too soon. See, here's it. Here's the truth of it. God says, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. 1 Timothy 3:6. Here it is. Patience. Now what? Let patience have her perfect work. Trials to move us, mellow us, mature us. Count it all joy. Let the joy bells ring continually in this working of patience. You know what I would like to see in my own life? I'd like to see Crabtree get to the place where he is and does what God wants. That's what I want. Do you understand that nothing else matters if you don't do that? Because all of the ministry that anyone has in the flesh, it'll burn. It'll burn. But if you and I trust and obey God, and our fellowship becomes sweeter and sweeter. I may have told you this before, but one time I'm standing in the foyer up here, and there was a man in our church then that has now gone somewhere else. And I don't know why he did this. And I'm standing there for it, just he and I, and all of a sudden he unloads on me about the pastor. Saying all kinds of things about Pastor Scott. And finally, I know you know that I wouldn't ever do this, but I stopped him. And I said, do you know why I find no fault with my pastor? And he stopped and he looked at me. And he said, why? I said, I'm not looking. Well, there's the answer. You see, when you look to Jesus, that makes the difference.